We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Late night. This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI. Boston Sports Talk for Insomniacs and the Graveyard Pack. Let's get it going with Patrick Gilroy. Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
Hour number two, Late Night, right here at Sports Radio WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you guys as we'll make our way together for the next hour until midnight tonight. The number to join us here, 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And joining me into the second hour here, working overtime, is WEEI.com's Nick Fryer. There's not enough people in the world to do all the work that Nick participates in.
Oh, stop.
You were on Mud at Night. Then I didn't know you were scheduled to be on Mud at Night when I asked you to join me here.
It was
right?
Just a quick thing.
It's okay. Yeah. It's all right. You're prime time.
Way more in depth. Oh, stop it.
Morning show host Mike Monansky. I mean, that is a prime time spot for you. Okay, so you're on with Mud at Night. You're over here following along the Nets game because you write for another website, not named WEI.com, covering the Brooklyn Nets and everything that's happening there with Kyrie. Plus, you write for WEI.com about the Celtics. So again, Nick Fryer working overtime here, talking about the Celtics.
Thanks,
with you guys in his sports radio.
Yeah,
that's what I try to do here. That's my goal here.
You did a good job.
If I'm not doing that, I am not doing my job.
I think the guy we're going to talk to works a lot of overtime because he has to do the whole NBA, doesn't he?
He does. He does the whole NBA, but a special emphasis on the Celtics. I wanted to bring in my friend Dan Greenberg from Barstool Sports. You guys know him as Greeny. And Greeny, man, the Celtics, I like to say this because it's true today. I don't want to get into the variables. I don't want to get into the other teams. The Celtics have the best record in the NBA.
Oh, it's more than that. It's the best record in the NBA. It's the third best defense in the NBA, the third best net rating, the only team at 320-point scorers. I mean, we haven't seen something like this since, like, the KG days. That's how drunk off Kool-Aid I am right now.
I love it. That's why I had to have you in here tonight. I knew I was going to be a little tired, and I thought to myself, okay, I need a guy that's full of adrenaline and going to make me look like the conservative Celtics fan here, which is exactly what you do, man. But the Celtics right now, 6-1, and the point that you just brought up is the one that I want to hammer home with you here tonight. The Celtics have got three players averaging north of 20 points a game, and Gordon Hayward is one of those three. Do you think, realistically, I know the green Kool-Aid is pumping through your veins right now, Greeny, but do you think when you and I are sitting here having a similar conversation in mid-April as we're preparing for another Celtic playoff run, that we'll be able to say the same thing about Gordon Hayward, about Jason Tatum, and about Kemba Walker averaging north of 20 points a game?
So the averages may not be that high, and I think we'll know what we're seeing is real if it passes the eye test, right? So if you watch them last year, everything we saw from Hayward, you could just tell something looked off. You saw Jalen, he was inconsistent to start the year. Tatum had bad body language. So I'm not so concerned about the averages, but I want to see, you know, are they sharing the ball? Are they being unselfish? That's the type of stuff that I think when we're talking in, you know, January, February, 30, 40 games into the season, I think we're going to be talking, you know, along those lines, even if, you know, Hayward's down to 17, 18 points a game and, you know, Jalen's maybe at 14, 15 a game. You know, the numbers are great, but it's more about how they're gelling together.
When I look at this team right now, I see a team that all the questions that we asked, and you and I talked about it going into the season, you know, can Kemba Walker still be the same Kemba Walker that he was in Charlotte, in Boston, with a much larger role? And you know, having to share the basketball here where he didn't have to share it in Charlotte, that was question A. Question B, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, can they take that next leap after taking a step back last year? And Gordon Hayward was the big X factor, because I think what a lot of people said, Greeny, was if Hayward can return to being Gordon Hayward, well, then the Celtics, their ceiling suddenly jumps much, much higher than people thought it could be. So far, and the odds were against this happening, but so far, all four of those questions have been answered positively. So of those four, is there one that you would expect maybe to take a bit of a step back, where right now things are going well, but it can't possibly go that well throughout the course of the season?
I don't know. I don't see why it can't, right? I mean, we haven't seen what this team looks like when they hit their first, you know, three-game losing skid or you know, their first real, you know, road bump of adversity. But it's not like we're seeing anything all that outrageous. Like Gordon Hayward's field goal percentage over this road trip has been crazy. So that'll come back down to earth. But it's not like guys are, you know, dropping 45 and are having these unsustainable performances. You know, they're only taking – Tatum, I think, took, what, 17 or 18 shots the other night, and he led the team. I mean, we're seeing a team that has good balance. I think what really stuck out to me was at the end of the third quarter, you know, you had Kemba Walker in Charlotte. It's his night. He had the chance to take that last possession shot at the buzzer of the third quarter, but instead they ran a great little pick and pop with Tatum, and he was willing to, you know, give him the ball, and Tatum made the three. For me, you know, our biggest question was, like, what is Kemba going to be now that he's not asked to be that number one option? And so far it's a guy that is willing to, you know, allow his teammates to flourish. You heard what he said after Tatum hit the game winner against the Knicks, how he has no problems with his teammates, you know, taking and making these big-time shots. So for me, I'm not seeing anything that is unsustainable where, you know, we're going to be thinking of, wow, it was really this flash in the pan that Kemba was an unselfish teammate. Like, that just doesn't sound right, because everything that we heard about him in the locker room and the chemistry and all that is coming to fruition.
So, Greeny, one of the question marks that we were talking about, not necessarily for Gilroy and myself, but, you know, Ordway's talked about it, is the bench and how there's really no scoring options. I know Marcus Smart has been scoring a little bit for them. I'm not as concerned about it right now. I'm curious, do you think that's an issue that needs to be addressed or will be addressed when Kanter comes back, or do you think that that's an issue that they have?
So it's weird because they're dead last in the NBA in scoring. I think they're averaging like 21 a game as a bench unit, but they've played the third fewest bench minutes of any team in the league. So it's like they have a positive plus minus, so it's not killing them, but this is the Celtics. We've all seen them. We know that there's going to be games where, you know, their starters are struggling to score, and that's where, you know, I feel like I'm very surprised that Carson Edwards can't hit a shot. Like, I didn't see that coming at all, given what we saw from him in the summer league and in the preseason. And, you know, once you get to the playoffs, you're only going to be eight or nine players deep. But if this team wants to be a top three seed, they have to get, you know, above average production from their second unit. And I think that's where Kanter's going to help. I think that's where Brad's rotations are going to become important, because we're going to, you know, he's going to have to stagger guys. If Grant isn't really willing to shoot and Carson can't come off the bench and be that, you know, Eddie House type super sub, they have to get some consistent scoring, because, you know, over the course of the year, to be dead last in point production, none of those teams go deep in the playoffs. So you can't ignore it, but it's not time to panic just yet.
It is Sports Radio WEI. It's Late Night. Dan Greenberg from Barstool Sports joins us on the line right now. And Dan, you know, Kevin O'Connor covers the NBA, has for quite a few years. Yesterday, Kevin tweets out, Celtics are one move away from being at the same level as the Bucks and Sixers. Unsure that move is out there, but Boston has first from Grizz and Bucks, plus their own assets to use. Hayward being back, Tatum's progress, and chemistry with Kemba closes the gap, but they still need one more piece. You agree?
I do, but I also think that that piece could be Robert Williams. I'm ready to give him more than 13 to 15 minutes a night, and I think the more he develops, the type of player that we see come February and March is going to be drastically improved from what we're seeing to start the season, and it hasn't even been that half bad. But they do have that missing big. I just think that guy is actually on the roster already. Like, I don't want to give up a major rotation piece for big man help. If there's something in the buyout market, you know, come February, maybe you address it that way. But I believe in Robert Williams. I believe in his ceiling. I believe in his athleticism. And I think he's only going to be ready by getting more reps. But to do that, he's got to be consistent on the defensive end.
So, Greeny, that tells me pretty much the answer to my next question here, because, again, if you look at the reports over the last week, even Brian Windhorst bringing up reports, so it's not just no-name guys out there, but various reports over the last week saying the Celtics are connected to Clint Capela, to Steven Adams, and to Draymond Green. Any one of those three entice you at all?
I mean, on paper, yes, but then you think of what you have to give up to match salaries, and that's going to cost you a Jaylen Brown or a Marcus Smart. And I just think that you don't get better by making a swap like that. I'd rather just, you know, see if you can find a cheap end of the bench buyout guy, like a 2019 version of a PJ Brown or something like a Shavik Randolph from way back in the day. I think if you do a move like that and you bring in a Steven Adams, but it costs you Marcus Smart or Jaylen Brown, how are you better, you know, long term? For what they're going to give you, if it's defense and rebounding, I mean, A, like I just said, Robert Williams can do it, but B, you can find cheap guys to give you, you know, 10 to 15 minutes and all they have to do is rebound. I'm not interested in gutting, especially if they look good. I'm not interested in gutting the team for anybody like that.
So in all the talk about the big guys, Greeny, and there's still one who we've only seen one game of in the regular season in Cantor, and he's got a bruised knee. And he said he told us the other day that he was ready to go for the Raptors game. He thought he was going to play in that one. And obviously he's been ruled out against San Antonio too. What do you make of this whole situation? Because it just seems very odd to me at this point.
Yeah, I mean, if you remember the play when it happened, it looked, I mean, awful. He had the dude roll up into his leg.
Yep.
And I knew the second that the team came out and said he had a bruised knee, I mean, I've been down this road before. I knew right then that it was definitely not going to just be a bruised knee, and we probably wouldn't see him for a while. I'm still waiting for the Woj bomb that he's going to need, you know, some sort of MCL surgery or something like that. And I think it's really unfortunate because, you know, he's a great offensive rebounder. I think defensively he gets kind of a bad rap. He really only struggles in drop coverage in the pick and roll. But if you look at the teams like Philly and Milwaukee, these teams that have these big, you know, physical bigs, you know, they don't run a lot of pick and roll. So I have no real sort of, you know, worry with him matching up with a Horford or an Embiid if we're going to have to get past them in the East. And it just stinks because I think, you know, he can help with that bench scoring. You know, surprisingly, they've been able to survive on the glass without him. I think Tice has been fantastic. I think Tatum's been awesome on the glass, making up for it.
Gordon Hayward.
You know, and Hayward too, right. And it's just like you can only survive on that for so long. You do need him to be healthy. You need him to get in shape. Because I do think when he's right, I mean, he made a real difference for Portland down the stretch for them last year. And it was just so bad that, you know, it happened on the first game. But I'm not believing that bruised knee for a second.
So, Greeny, you implied right then and there during that comment that you said we've been down this road before. And I think back to 2009 with Kevin Garnett, Danny Ainge minimizing the impact, saying he'd be back next week, not back next week, ultimately never came back. Then again, a couple years later with Shaquille O'Neal, going to be back next week, and he ultimately never came back. Are you implying, suggesting here that we're talking about, in your mind, you're preparing for potential surgery and the worst-case scenario here with Cantor?
I don't know about, like, for season ending, but it would not shock me if he was maybe out, you know, until the new year or something like that. There's just something that, you know, keeps me up at night thinking, like, if he says he's ready to go, but the team isn't clearing him, you know, are they being extra cautious because this was sort of a soft spot in their schedule? You know, they have Dallas on deck. They have, you know, a couple of better teams in the coming weeks, so maybe they just felt they could get past, you know, the Charlottes, the Knicks of the world without him. I hope that's the case, but again, every time my phone vibrates with a Woj notification, I think it's going to be something about Cantor. I'm a sick individual.
I don't blame you, Greeny, but Mike, but I you don't think for a second, though, that there's a possibility that they think, yeah, he's just not where we want him to be defensively, because I thought he looked pretty lost in the preseason. I didn't like what I saw necessarily in Philly either. And I thought he was going to be able to body up guys a little bit better than what I've seen so far. Yeah. You don't think it's anything like that where they're trying to get him more comfortable in the defensive rotations?
Maybe, but I think for him, and it's the same thing with Williams, right? Like, you have to get these guys reps to be where I think Brad wants him to be. And I think he's such a veteran player. It's like he really struggles when you switch him on a smaller, quicker guard. It's kind of like what Kelly Olynyk was back in the day. Every time he was in the pick and roll, he would get switched on a quicker guard, and it's basically a layup. But if we're just talking about banging bodies in the post, I really do think Kanter can hold his own. And I think when you look at how the Celtics defend quicker teams, that's where Daniel Theis comes in. But he struggles against the Andre Drummonds of the world. So if you just need a guy to bang bodies and give you six fouls, I think that Kanter can do it. But, you know, it's just tough because we don't know what he looks like because he hasn't played, you know, a large enough sample. And I just think if Brad really thought that he wasn't ready, I think we would know. He would be a little bit more honest of it. I don't think they'd be hiding around the injury. I think he would just be playing 5 to 10 minutes a night. So the fact that he's not playing at all tells me, like, something else has to be going on.
It is Sports Radio WEI. It's Late Night. It's Gilroy. It's Nick Fryer on the line with us right now. Dan Greenberg from Barstool Sports. And Dan, just a couple more before we get you out of here. But, you know, this year especially, Marcus Smart, I feel like, you know, last year all-defensive team guy, he's doing it again this year. He's really taking this leadership role incredibly seriously with this team to the point where even when he gets into it with his coach a little bit, you heard Brad Stevens last night say he loves the guy. It's just not the traditional reaction that you would get when a player kind of questions a coach a little bit. But that's the respect that the franchise has for Marcus Smart and what he brings to the table. We've seen him defend all five positions this year. You know, he's really just taking this leadership role, this defensive leadership role, to the next level. But then you think back about guys that have done this before, whether it was KG, even Al Horford, Draymond Green, these guys, great defensive players, guys that not only made the opposition think twice before going to the basket, but also held their own teammates to a different level of accountability defensively. That's what KG did here. That's what Al Horford did here. That's what Draymond's done so well out west for all these years. So my question to you is, can a 6'3" backcourt guy, can he legitimately be that guy on a championship level team?
I don't see why not. I mean, I think, you know, he's 6'3", but he hasn't played 6'3", right? So it's like, for me, it's a situation where if he holds his teammates accountable, if he's supportive, and if he takes the responsibility of being that leader, of being that team captain the right way, you know, just because he's your emotional leader and sort of defensive anchor, you know, that's not like saying, can you win a title with Marcus Smart being your best player, right? That's a completely different argument. If all I'm asking Marcus to do is defend at an all-NBA level to, you know, be 100% committed, to have that energy and that passion and to hold his teammates accountable and to lead by example, why can't that be part of the championship mix, right? Like, Draymond Green doesn't do anything ridiculous, but they know that he's going to show up each and every night, be the emotional leader, do whatever it takes to win. Maybe he gets hot from 3-1 night, which we've seen Marcus do. So nothing that he brings to the table is something that you can't do in the playoffs. Where you get into trouble is when, you know, he starts feeling himself a little bit and he gets a little trigger happy, but he's even turning himself into, you know, a 36, 37% three-point shooter, and that used to be his Achilles heel. So I think what we're seeing is, will he embrace that six-man role, right? Last year the question was, will Jaylen Brown or Gordon Hayward be comfortable off the bench? This year, with how good the wings are playing, for me, I would prefer Marcus to come off the bench. So we don't know if he'll sort of accept that as the sort of quote-unquote leader of the team. But if he's this sort of, you know, put the team first mentality, he should. And I think that's only going to make everything better for everybody else.
So, Greeny, last one for me, and this is the most important question you've been asked so far. When it came to the, I think it's their city statement uniforms that came out.
So bad.
I know when I wrote about it for EI.com that I was not a fan. I know you wrote about it and you were not a fan at first either, but then I saw that you found a clearer picture and you seemed to be okay
Correct.
With it. Is that, are you okay with it now?
Yeah, so when I saw, I don't know if Kanter's using like a Motorola Razor or what, like that's like a cell phone from 1995. I called it the worst thing the franchise has ever done. I mean, it looked teal. It was awful.
Hold on, 1995 was a good year. You had Sherman Douglas, you had Ala Abdel-Nabi, you had Kevin Gamble. Come on now.
I know, but it's not exactly, you know, the golden age for a cell phone. But then we saw the video. It looks a little more green. I'm not a huge fan, but I'm willing to give it a chance to where I want to see it in person.
Okay.
When I first saw that picture and it was teal, I didn't even care to see it in person. They needed to fire whoever idea that was. So I'm a little bit more open to it. But for me, if they're going to go with some sort of alternate and city edition, you just need to go with the St. Patrick's Day green jersey with the gold lettering like Pierce wore back in the day. That's by far their best alternate. So we'll see, but I'm nervous. I can't lie.
Not the gray.
No, the short sleeve things. No, they burned those.
No. To be honest, I didn't think it could get worse than those until I saw that teal picture. I thought it was like a deep web. I thought I was getting punked or something. I couldn't believe it. And then you realize it's Enos Kanter putting it out, and I freaked out. I couldn't believe it.
All right, Greeny, last one for me. Let's move fast forward here 5, 6, 7 months. And let's say that Gordon Hayward continues to play at this level or about this level for the remainder of the season. Do the Celtics legitimately have to worry about the potential of him opting out of the last year of his deal?
If he looks like this, probably, but I think that, if anything, he'll opt out just to get some additional security, and I think that's where you may see him, you know, take more of a team-friendly discount. I don't think he's going to be this dude that hits the market and is getting $30, $35 million, but I do think if he looks like this, it may just be better business for him to test the market, but, I mean, he's not going to leave Brad Stevens, those two. He's like his one true love, so I'm not worried about it, even if he does opt out.
I love it. There are no problems in Greeny's world. Greeny, I appreciate you staying up late with us here tonight. Next time I talk to you, I hope the Celtics are still in first place and you get three guys north of 20 points a game. If those two things are happening, this is going to be a hell of a ride, my man.
I mean, listen, you couldn't ask for a better start, and I'm trying to be patient, but at the same time, I mean, the Kool-Aid is cold. I can't help it.
Are you getting ready to start queuing the duck boats, or are you not there yet?
Oh, I'm not there yet. I'm a rational enough person to know that, you know, nothing you see in November means anything for April. But at the same time, like, last time the Celtics were, you know, 6-1, 6-2 like this, they made the Eastern Conference Finals. And, you know, that's not hyperbole. That's just a stone-cold fact.
Awesome. I appreciate it, Greeny. And check him out, Barstool Sports. Follow him on Twitter, at Stool Greeny. Thanks again to Dan Greenberg for staying up late with us. It is Sports Radio WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy. Nick Fryer sitting in here tonight. When we come back, I see you guys on the line. We'll get to your phone calls talking about the Boston Celtics. Still got plenty of time, plenty of room for you guys at 617-779-7937.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You are locked into Late Night with Patrick Gilroy on Sports Radio WEEI.
Well, that guy that we just saw,
yeah,
I mean, he came out and very early established his game and really got the momentum going. His total game is really something to watch. He's in the bird category for knowing how to pass, when to pass, and when to shoot.
Wow, that's saying
something. Yeah, I know, right? Gordon Hayward, Larry Bird.
He was Larry Bird.
I know.
He's in the category.
I can't get enough Tommy Heinsohn. I love it. We're going to go from Greeny, the ultimate optimist, to Tommy Heinsohn. And someday we should put together some sort of a highlight reel of Tommy Heinsohn referring to current-day Celtics and comparing them to past-day Celtics. Greg Steensma was Bill Russell. And now
that's right.
And now you've got Gordon Hayward as Larry Bird. It is Sports Radio, WEEI. It's Gilroy. It's Nick Fryer. The number to join us here tonight is 617-779-7937. And yes, you know, Tommy gets emotional, and I love him for that. This is on the heels of back-to-back great games for Gordon Hayward. The 39-point performance followed up with a 20-point performance, but more than just the offense, more than just the points. It's the way that he's playing. It's using his intelligence, his ability to rebound the basketball. Don't forget, it was a key offensive rebound and putback that sealed the Cavaliers' win from Gordon Hayward. I mean, this stuff that he's doing right now goes so far beyond, Nick, what he did last year. He had a couple of 30-point games last year against the Timberwolves, two games north of 30. But those games, he got hot from beyond the arc. He was just hitting threes, and good for him. We all needed to see that last year, and he needed to see that last year. But this year, if you watch the way that he's playing, and you mentioned this off the air in the first segment, he's not Utah Gordon Hayward. He's not. He's not above the rim. He's not quite as explosive. But he has learned how to play with what he does have, and it's been very effective.
Yeah, the thing is that, and this was going into the Cleveland game, he wasn't doing it in the first half. He was waiting way too long, and it was mainly about his mindset. Yes, he's a good distributor and does all the rebounding stuff, but he can't just always be pass first. And as much as, you know, Kemba Walker is a, you know, ball-dominant point guard and wants to shoot a ton, like, I get that, and that Tatum wants to get his fill. But at the same time, when you're aggressive going to the rim, then defenders are going to go after you, and then that's going to open up other guys. And that's what Hayward is doing well now. When he's aggressive, he's now creating options for himself, whereas before, he'd be like, I'm going to drive, and I'm automatically going to kick. I'm not looking for my shot. So when he kind of gets tentative, he's not quite as impactful, and that's why in these past couple games it's been so important that he's doing it early, because this is signs he's going to be able to carry it into hopefully full games.
And something that I don't think gets enough play is when Gordon was in Utah, he was far and away, no question about it, their leader, their best player. So as their best player, he always drew the defensive assignment, was always the best defender on the opposition, would always have to take on Gordon Hayward. Let's face it, here, he's often facing the third or fourth best defender on the opposing team, because you're going to go after Kemba Walker first, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. All those guys are going to garner more attention, more eyeballs than Gordon Hayward, which is why, by the way, his intelligence on the basketball court matters. We saw it in Charlotte in the first quarter with the backdoor cuts. They were a constant thing last night. Yeah. Getting open on basic backdoor plays, stuff that you learned in sixth grade basketball, Gordon Hayward is getting 8, 10, 12 points a night just off outsmarting the opposition, because he's no longer drawing the opposition's best defender.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what they need. I mean, they need a guy who can just slash every once in a while, because Tatum is going to go and try and create his own offense. Kemba, same thing. But now when you have Gordon Hayward running around everywhere, now the opposition has to worry about him. Where is he going to be? And that opens up things for everybody else, and it creates scoring opportunities for himself. And that's why sometimes when we talk about a Capella, or more so a Steven Adams, I like having that big body down there. Don't get me wrong, I don't want to run a five out, as much as that's the name of the podcast. I'm not a big fan of that, but Tice is not, you know, clogging things up down there. And I think that helps with Hayward and what he needs to do with his game, and that helps the rest of the offense.
All right, it is Sports Radio, WEI. The number to join us here is 617-779-7937. Let's get back out to the calls. Let's go to John. John's in Maine. John, you're next up here on WEI.
Hey, Pat, and what was your guest name again?
Nick Fryer.
Hey, Nick,
you want to check him out on WEI.com, Johnny.
What's up, John?
I will after the call. Thanks for taking my call. I want to talk about Marcus Smart. I think he can be the leader of this team. I would be thrilled to see him if he was made the captain of this team. I think he doesn't get enough credit on the offensive end. I think he's an excellent passer, and I think he would reward these guys by giving them dimes on the offensive side of the ball if they play better on defense. I think that he is a leader already. I think there's a few examples of that. The run they made in the playoffs 2 years ago, Kyrie wasn't a part of that playoff run. Marcus Smart was. Last year, Marcus Smart was hurt. You saw what they did in the playoffs. And I think he makes everybody better. Tatum, Brown, I think he made Terry Rozier better when Terry Rozier was on the team. So I think he can be the leader of this team.
Do you think he can have a similar role to, you know, a KG, a Horford, a Draymond Green, where not only is he the best defensive player, but he's also a guy that's able to hold his teammates accountable, John, where his teammates are going to listen when Marcus Smart talks?
Well, that's the thing. I think they'll listen when he talks. But the thing about that is I don't think he's the same caliber as KG or Draymond Green. I mean, Draymond Green was a triple-double machine on Golden State for a few years. KG, you know, he'd give you 25 and 14 a night. Just not quite there, but definitely a leader. I think he could do it on this team. I think with the guys they have, those 320-point scorers, he could be the leader. He's got the tenure. He's a great defensive player. I think he could be the leader of the team.
I love it, Johnny. It's great stuff. And, you know, don't tell me you're going to do something, then not do it. Go to WEI.com right now. Check out Nick Fryer. He's on the front page. There's a great story there by Nick Fryer, as there always is, about the Boston Celtics. You get uncomfortable when people talk nice about you. It's
yes,
amazing.
I do.
Like, you're all red right now, and this is the name of the game, man. You got to self-promote.
I'm not used to being nice. I don't know. I grew up in a household where you can always be better, and that's how I always think about it.
I'm going to take 5% of your salary and promote the hell out of you.
I appreciate that. Speaking of being better, by the way, Terry Rozier, he did not look good last night.
I'm getting so much pleasure out of watching some of these former Celtics struggle out there. Terry Rozier, I mean, having a relatively decent season, averaging 16 points a night, but he was abysmal.
He looked terrible, Gilroy. Yeah, I was saying at first, you know, until the whole Kemba thing happened, I was like, all right, well, you got to go with Terry. You got to ride or die with him. You don't have any other option. It'll be fine. No, thank you.
And this
would be awful with him and not Kemba.
This is great, though. And this is what's so great about this particular season and this edition of the Celtics is not only are they playing incredibly well, so we get to enjoy that, but let's face it, Brooklyn hasn't got off to the start that they wanted to get off to. Philadelphia lost at the buzzer tonight. Jokic hit a three falling away to bury them. I get so much pleasure and enjoyment because these other fan bases, I mean, Philadelphia's fan base is just the flipping worst. I mean, they think that they've already won multiple championships with this group, all right?
Yeah.
They jump from the process to a three-peat in their mind, okay?
Yeah,
it's amazing to me listening to them and watching them on Twitter. So to watch them lose at the buzzer, to me, I get enjoyment out of that.
I think the greatest enjoyment is seeing Aaron Baines lock up Ben Simmons for, 8 points on 2 of 8 shooting? No, Embiid, and you're only going to take 8 points? Because again, we talk about the tentativeness at the you know, you're slashing and getting to the rim, but he's not even thinking about getting a shot up because Baines is hammering him the whole way. He looked terrible against the Suns.
He did, and again, you know, again, Ben Simmons, people continue to wait for him to take that next step. And you know, in game one against the Celtics this year, he was very, very good. He's a very good basketball player.
He is.
But again, you know, there's so much hype around him, and when I watch him, I just don't see what people see. Other people look at him and they say, okay, if I'm starting a team tomorrow, that's the type of guy I want to start my team with. I don't see that.
Are you nuts?
He doesn't do one thing so well that he can carry his team based on that skill. He's a very good 6'9" type point guard, and those guys are incredibly rare. Magic Johnson was one of those guys, right? So when you look at his size, you look at his strength, you look at his ability, you think to yourself, okay, combination, Magic Johnson, LeBron James, he's tentative.
He can't shoot.
And he's lacking that ability to shoot.
Oh.
And in this NBA today, Nick, if you can't shoot, you got a problem.
Yes.
Which is why Marcus Smart, by the way, he couldn't shoot his first couple of years.
No.
The fact is, he is not a bad three-point shooter.
No, he's not a bad three-point shooter. It's a hell of a lot better than Ben Simmons is. You won't even take one in a real game.
I mean, if Marcus Smart can do it, why can't Ben Simmons do it? That's the question.
There's the whole thing with that he was raised, he's really a righty, and I guess his dad wanted him to be a lefty or whatever
sure.
it was. Yeah, I mean, that's...
I mean, but he's an adult.
Like
it's not
Damon.
About your dad anymore. I mean, it is sports radio. WEI. Let's grab one more before the break. Let's go to Dominic. Dominic's in New Hampshire. Dom, you're next up here on WEI.
Yo, what's up, guys?
What's happening, Dominic?
What's up?
Patrick, I want to ask you, brother, do you sleep?
No, I don't get much sleep, man. Sleep is, I get plenty of time to sleep when I'm dead.
I hope, brother, you ain't on that booger sugar.
You know, actually, it's funny.
You sleep like 2 hours a night, man?
2 or 3 on a good night.
All right, so I called because I made a bet with a coworker, and I want y'all to chime in. So I made a bet that by the end of the season, my man Bobby Dubs, Robert Williams, is going to be the starting center for the Celtics. And my logic is this, and you alluded to this earlier, Patrick. They have too many offensive weapons. You put a guy like Robert Williams at the 5. He's just a more or less defensive specialist. He gets his points when he gets them, and I think it works.
So I don't necessarily disagree because you got two things working for you if you want to win your bet, okay? Forget basketball reasons for a moment because we can go through the basketball reasons why come March or April he'll probably be the starter. But let's face it right now. Let's face it. Daniel Tice is going to get injured at some point this season.
Yep.
It's inevitable. So once he gets injured, assuming Robert Williams just doesn't suck when he goes out there and he takes that starting role because of Tice's inevitable injury, Robert Williams will have his chance, and I don't think once he gets that chance, I don't think he's going to lose it.
Well, I think, going back to what you were saying earlier, the thing that concerns me about this team is I still don't understand how it's going to work between Haywood, Tatum, and Brown, and Kemba, and getting all these shots.
It's working right now, Dom.
Well, Dom, they only have four. I mean, look, Smart's getting his fair share of shots, but they only have four guys, whereas last year they had, what was it, six, seven, eight guys that they had to feed all those mouths. Now everybody's getting their fill. I mean, even when Brown was in those first two games, they're all getting, you know, 15-ish shots a game.
And, Dom, just do me a favor real quick. Turn down your radio. We're getting some feedback here.
Oh, I'm on speakerphone, brother. I'm sorry.
It's all good. So you know, that's the thing here. When I talk about those four guys, that was such a big concern going into the season was, can all four of those guys continue to thrive here and be the best versions of themselves when, you know, you got three guys essentially playing the same position?
But I want to see these guys. You know, Tatum's in what, year three?
Year three, yep.
Brown's in year four?
Mm-hmm.
Like, these guys, it's coming to a point where it's, like, put up or shut up. I want to see these guys become, I mean, they're betting on them becoming franchise players. I think at some point you got to pivot to which way you're going. Are you going with Haywood and the veterans, or are you going younger?
Well, so Dom, that's what's interesting, man. If you said put up or shut up, right? So I like that mentality. But go ahead and look at Jason Tatum's numbers right now. Chances are, if the All-Star game were tomorrow, Jason Tatum is in. He's putting up nearly 23 points a game. It doesn't get much better than that.
Well, we saw him the other night. What was it, Cleveland? He hit the game-winning shot.
Yeah, it was the night before. It was the game before that when he hit the
one
game
the fadeaway that was against the Knicks at home.
Well, he's playing like the number one guy, you know, with Haywood coming in. And what I'm saying to you is you're assuming that it's all going to work. We have not seen a body of work with all four of those guys on the court at the same time. You know who the odd man out is going to be? Jaylen Brown.
Well, don't you think that the Raptors game, they were all on the court at the same time, and Jaylen was the best guy in the first couple games when he wasn't fouling out.
And so Dom, what's interesting here, and it's a great discussion because it's all about sort of future projections here, right? And listen, I got to drop you because your phone's killing me, but I appreciate the phone call. So what is so interesting about this discussion is that you look at the mentality of Gordon Hayward when he got here versus where he's at right now. When he got here, he was sharing that podium with Kyrie Irving, and it was going to be this two-headed monster that spearheaded the Celtics into the future. That is no longer the case. I honest to God, feel like Gordon Hayward is completely comfortable thriving as that number three, number four guy, where he might be the guy that's averaging 16 points a game at the end of the season, and Jaylen jumps up closer to 20. I don't know.
That could happen. But the thing is, too, you talked about Gilroy. He's not drawing the best defender. He's not even drawing the second best defender.
That's right.
That could change on nights, but right now it's not going to be the case.
And because the Celtics don't go 11 or 12 deep, Glenn Ordway, here's what happens. Yes, right now, all the veterans are starting. And when I say veterans, I mean Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown as well. So they're starting alongside Gordon Hayward and alongside Kemba Walker. That is fine because how many times have we said it when talking about the NBA? It's not who starts the game, it's who finishes the game. But for the Celtics, there's also a bit of a mental play here for Brad Stevens. He's trying to repair the damage done last year, and there was damage, especially between Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Gordon Hayward. Those two guys were pissed off at the beginning of the year that you had Gordon Hayward, coach's pet, playing and taking minutes from them and starting. That was an issue last year. Mm-hmm. It was. This year, it's not an issue. So let's not forget the balancing act that Brad Stevens has had this year so far. He's done a masterful job. But that's just a longer way of me saying the reason why the Celtics are able to win games while having nearly no bench, and they don't. I mean, when you look at the bench, it's chock full of rookies. And generally, teams that play multiple rookies don't win. But this Celtics team is winning because when you have Grant Williams and Carson Edwards on the floor, yet they're sharing the floor with Gordon Hayward and Jason Tatum when Jaylen Brown gets his rest, and then Jaylen comes back in the game and Gordon Hayward gets his rest and he's sharing the floor with Robert Williams and Carson Edwards. That works because you've always got two of those three guys on the floor.
Yeah, I will say, though, you touched on Carson. I'm a little bit worried. I know that Lou and them are joking about he's only scoring against Cleveland. he's not really that off base right now. He seems like he's pressing a little bit.
He is. He's a rookie, and he's a rookie that came in with relatively low expectations. I know that he was the ninth leading scorer in all of college basketball last year. I know that he's a prolific shooter. He's going to get his shot back. He is a rookie. He is nervous, and I don't know why we've got unrealistic expectations for a guy that was a low first-round pick. Because he lit it up in the preseason a couple of times, the first person to judge me on Celtics Summer League play is Ordway. He is the first guy to say, Gilroy, calm down. It's only Summer League. It doesn't matter. Yet he is guilty of judging Carson Edwards' first seven games based on what he saw him do in the Summer League.
Okay, so I'm not just looking at the numbers as much as that's all fun and everything. My big thing is his shot. Right now, you know, I know there are plenty of guys, and I'm talking about his form. Like, there are plenty of guys who go and take these like leaners and everything, or they're you know, jumping towards the rim when they pull up from three. But he wasn't always taking these big leaps and off balance and everything. That's what I mean. Like, he's in practice, he is like a robot when he practices his shot. And I'm not seeing that in these past few games.
Nick, he's undersized. B, he's thinking too much. What happens when you think too much and you play basketball? You're a shooter. You start aiming instead of shooting. In practice, he's still shooting because the pressure's off. In games, he knows he's pressing. He knows what's happening here. We've seen great shooters go through these slumps where they start aiming and not shooting. Once he has a couple strings together, a couple of decent games, and decent games for him are going two of three beyond the arc in 9 minutes. I mean, that's considered a good game for him at this stage in his career, in my opinion, right? So I don't look at him as a guy that I had big expectations for, but some people fell into the trap of judging him based on his collegiate career, summer league, and the preseason. It's clear to me that he's pressing out there and he's thinking. Once he gets his confidence back to a point where he's not thinking, and the final step there too is not only is he thinking, he's playing up against legitimate NBA defenders now. So you mentioned the leaning and the sort of jumping into a shot.
Yeah.
At his size, at his height, I mean, it took Isaiah Thomas a couple of years in the league to find ways to get his shot off. The same shot that he got off effectively in college, he was not able to get off effectively in the NBA.
That's
took
a
him
fair
a little
point.
While.
That's
so
a fair point.
It's going to take this kid a little while to learn to pick and choose his spots and how to sort of tweak his body in the right direction while still keeping his shooting balance. He'll get there because he's a gifted shooter. It is Sports Radio, WEEI. When we come back, we'll wrap this thing up, get some final thoughts from Nick Fryer before we get out of here for the weekend. It is Sports Radio, WEEI.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
We return to more of Late Night. Here's Patrick Gilroy on Sports Radio WEEI.
Final segment here. Late Night, Sports Radio WEEI. It's Gilroy. It's Nick Fryer. And, Nick, you know, we've covered this thing in depth. Incredible start for the Celtics, 6-1, tied for the best record in the NBA, best record in the Eastern Conference, exceeding all expectations. But despite the fact that they've had signature wins against Toronto, against Milwaukee, I feel like tomorrow, in San Antonio, 5 o'clock start, I just feel like that game tomorrow is going to be the real measure of where this team is at through the first 7-8 games of the year.
Yeah, well, because you just came off of two wins off against really bad teams. I mean, no matter what Brad says, those are not good NBA teams. So you need to go in on the road. DeJounte Murray, DeMar DeRozan, Aldridge is a guy who's going to be a big problem for them, I would think. So, yeah, this is kind of in some ways, a statement game. As much as they have that statement win against the Bucks, this is a big one for them.
And again, you know, going back to 08, that championship team, that win in San Antonio early on in the season, that really proved to themselves who they were and what their potential was.
Definitely. Yeah, this is a very important game for them tomorrow night.
All right, also tomorrow, big, big day, okay? So 12:30 tomorrow afternoon. The NHFFL, the playoffs get underway, and we want to see the Broncos do incredibly well tomorrow.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
The Broncos, they need to win tomorrow. It's a big game.
Go Broncos.
It's a big, and the defense needs to step up, and Connor Gilroy leads the team in sacks, and he needs to step up and do it just a little bit more. A little bit more. It's a big game. The only game they've lost this season was to this team.
Always can be better, right, Gilroy?
Always can be better. Always can be better. So I will be there tomorrow at that game, watching my son, hopefully, advance in the playoffs. Then I'll be here with Fitzy following BC football. So until tomorrow afternoon, for Nick Fryer, my name is Patrick Gilroy. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Hold up.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.